taking a deep breath to hold them steady.
Bastard. Tell me it ain't one of the women.
No, JP, it's not Christy or Laurie. It's a man up there.
But it looks like there's no...
Yeah, that's right, friend. It's been castrated. And there's no hands either, and no feet.
The bastards. Like some dirt crazies that shrink heads or take hair.
The eyes, nose, and ears are gone as well.
Who do you think it is?
Yeah, looks like an old man. Could be past 50. I reckon it's the kid's father.
White is old man? Yeah, I would figure with what we know of this Baron.
Let's go. Tell the kid what we've seen. He wriggled away, with JB at his heels, ready to return to the old cinema. They were about halfway back when they heard boot heels ringing on the overgrown gravel road. Ryan hesitated only a second before pointing to the left, then dove over a rotting picket fence and moved quickly along the side of a trim little house. He felt JB at his back and stopped once they were both safely around the corner. Wait. Ryan peered toward the street. Six men, making up the SEC patrol, were marching toward their base. Most of them were smoking and carried M16s slung across their chests. Ryan's keen nostrils caught the unmistakable aroma of Mary Jane drifting over the weed-infested garden. The sound of their footsteps vanished away down the road, and Ryan and JB were able to relax again. The armorer eased his finger off the trigger of his mini-Uzi.
Could have took them. Hit them all in one burst.
They'd have heard it and figured it was the start of the attack. This Termal may be the meanest fucker in the land, but he can't be a total stoop. He'll know we might come after the women. No point giving him any warning.
Guess so. Let's move.
Wait.
What now, Ryan? You gotta take a leak? Trader always said when you first joined, you was always sneaking off to take a piss before the shooting started. That it?
No. What the fuck's that there? In the middle of the garden by the dead rose bush? It was a metallic dome that rose about 3 feet above the matted surface of what had once been a neatly trimmed lawn, now overrun with crabgrass. Ryan picked his way through the knee-high weeds, then bent over the strange protuberance. What's your guess? We could do with Doc here. That old bastard knows more about the times before the long winters than any man does, or should.
Small redoubt?
Well, maybe a private one. Wait. You told me once about the last years, when folks installed their own nuke shelters? This could be one. Still here. The armorer put his weight against a large wheel set in the top, but it didn't budge.
Yeah. Bolted.
Yeah, but look at the rust around it. Might go if we both give it a try together. Come on. Heave on three. One, two, three. The corroded metal finally gave up its resistance. The wheel then turned fairly easily. Concerned about the sound it made, Ryan looked behind him. Check the road. I'll come get you when it's open. It took 30 or more turns before Ryan heard a latch disengage, and he was able to lift the trap. It was enormously thick, obviously counterbalanced by weights. It opened noisily. There was a waft of overpoweringly stale air, so dry and sour that it almost seemed to Ryan to clutch at his throat, like a 100-year-old wraith. JB joined him as he directed his flashlight into the entrance. They saw a tunnel that dropped vertically about 30 feet, with a white-painted set of ladders, its rungs throwing sharp shadows.
Going in, Ryan?
We got time. I'd kind of like to see inside one of these places. Ryan went first, slinging his H&K caseless over his shoulder. It was obvious that the shelter hadn't been opened for a century. It was probably one of the few totally safe places in all of Deathlands. There was a door at the bottom with a simple catch on it. Stuck to it with contact adhesive was a flowery notice. It said, "Don and Peggy's Place. If you got no beer, you can't come in." A smaller card said, "This is the golden door that has a silver lining." The shelter was small and cramped, with a living space opening to a couple of bunks. There was a kitchen area and toilet and wash basin. Beyond that was another door that hid the controls, generator, air purifier, water recycler, and stores. Ryan saw the two corpses immediately. Unlike those above ground, these hadn't deteriorated into skeletons. They were mummified bodies, leathery lips peeled back off yellowed teeth. The skin had shrunk and tightened across the faces, showing the skulls that lay beneath. The woman, with long black hair, lay on one of the bunks, looking as though she'd been laid out in a funeral home. The skeletal hands were folded neatly on her shrunken breasts. She wore pale blue dungarees, stained and filthy, with a black and white badge pinned to the shoulder strap. Both JB and Ryan recognized it from old books as the emblem of a society that opposed all forms of nuclear proliferation.
Didn't do her no good.
The man's body was in the John, huddled over the chemical toilet bowl, almost as if he was at prayer.
Looks like he died puking.
There was plenty of food in tins. JB switched on the water purifier and found it still functioned. Ryan sat down on a canvas chair, looked around the shelter, and saw a primitive vid machine with a camera wired to it. He pressed the button marked battery, and a faint red light glowed on the display, as if some tiny hibernating creature had just been awakened.
It works, JB. It works.
He wasn't totally surprised. In some of the better protected redoubts they'd found during the years with the trader, they'd quite often come across battery-operated machinery that still functioned. But generally, the charge was only held for a few minutes, and then the equipment would grind to a halt forever.
Press the on button on the vid there.
JB hit the starter, and the screen lightened, revealing a jagged pattern of gray and white. Ryan had already noticed that there was a cassette sitting in the vid machine. He leaned forward and pressed the button to set it in motion.
You don't think there's... Whoa.
Testing 5 and 4 and 3. Yeah, sounds coming through real good. Let me cut off that CD. Crap, where's the picture?
It had all been jagged dashes and dots, and then suddenly something appeared on the screen. A great blurred outline, like a football. It vanished, and then they saw the head and shoulders of a man who sat in the same chair where Ryan now sat. He looked to be around 50 years of age, with thinning black hair and a small, neat mustache. He had plump, well-shaped cheeks and immaculate teeth. Teeth so good, they couldn't possibly have been genuine. He wore a bright shirt, decorated with garish bananas and pineapples. On his right hand was a ruby fraternity ring, and on his left wrist, a platinum Rolex watch. There was a sheepish grin on his face, and he seemed a little embarrassed at his own presentation.
Hi there to the future. My name's Donald Haggard, and I'm an optometrist here in West Lowellton, part of the great city of Lafayette in the great state of Louisiana. I don't rightly know why I'm telling you this, because I guess you'll know all that. I've just broken off from Christmas brunch to tell you a little about... I guess I damn near forgot to tell you the date, too. It's December 25th in the year 2000. Wanted to make this video as a kind of record, I guess, of what's going on here right now.
While Ryan and JB sat there, spellbound by this message from a dead man, Don Haggard went on to outline the political situation. The tensions between East and West, the problems in Libya, in South Africa, in the Philippines, in Cuba, in the northern cities of Great Britain, and in Israel.
Seems like the whole world is just waiting for someone to push the first button. Anyway, like I said, it's Christmas, everybody's here. My wife, Peggy, she works locally in telephone sales. My boys are all here too, Johnny, Dwight, and Merle. And I guess you know from now what kind of music I'm into.
The picture wobbled, and the gears of the vid machine grated and whined as if they were about to give up. Ryan leaned in the chair and pressed the fast forward button, letting it go ahead for several seconds.
We don't have time to watch all this, JB. Maybe